All right, tonight, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, here at the beginning of a new year, no doubt this year, 2016, will bring some changes. And I want to talk about how to deal with life's changes, the changes that come. And as we come to the table of the Lord tonight, when the Lord instituted the table, part of it was a message to the disciples that change was coming. He was headed to the cross. He was going to die, but he was going to rise from the grave. And they were going to be left with something they had not expected. The Lord was going to have them at the beginning of the church age, preaching the gospel. They were going to be part of something new. It was it's going to be a change in life. They had been used to following the Lord Jesus Christ for three and a half years, something like that. And now he was no longer going to be there physically. He was not going to leave them comfortless. He was going to be with them, but changes were going to come. And they needed to learn how to deal with life's changes. They needed to remember that they were going to be sad that Christ died on the cross and he was gone physically, but it was necessary. And they needed to deal with that. And they needed to deal with the Savior was no longer there physically for them, but he was there with the Holy Spirit of God living within. Now, with the exception of God himself and his word, all things that we know are in a constant state of change, aren't they? I mean, just really are. God never changes. His word never changes. But the Bible reveals that there are changes that take place in our lives, and we need to learn how to deal with those things. Look at Ecclesiastes 3, and I want to read the first 11 verses here. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill and time to heal, time to break down and time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, and time to dance. Time to cast away stones and time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. Time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men. I want you to think about that. Seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. In other words, God sends things, God allows things for purpose in our lives. It says there in verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now we can try to figure out everything, can't we? And get frustrated because things didn't go the way we thought they ought to go. But we need to understand that the things that happen to us, the things that come our way, they don't catch God off guard. God allows those things to come our way. They have come to us God-filtered. Does that make sense to you? Okay. There's nothing that escapes God. God is not surprised by anything that happens in your life. His person never changes. He's always holy. He's always righteous, just, and loving. I thank God his power never changes. He's all powerful. And my grandchildren, they're into Batman and Superman, superheroes, you know. There's no cosmic kryptonite. Aren't you glad for that? You know, there's nothing that's going to be, oh no, what's Superman going to do now? You know, we don't have to say, oh no, what's God going to do now? Do we? He's better than Superman. You know, there's no cosmic kryptonite. His promises never change. He's the only real promise keeper that we can depend on. His plan never changes. Jesus is always the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. God has a plan, and that plan never changes. His purpose never changes. He wants to bring folks that are not in Christ, He wants to bring them to come to Christ, and those that are in Christ, He wants to bring into the likeness of Christ. God's the Alpha and Omega. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But most of the things that come into our lives are seasonal. That's point number one. Most of the things that come into our lives are seasonal, aren't they? Verse number one, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, everything in our lives has a beginning, and most of them have an end, don't they? Because the things of this life are seasonal, we know that our lives are in a constant state of changing. We grow older. Hopefully we grow a little wiser as we grow older. But we also, as you grow older, some things happen to you physically, don't they? I mean, you no longer have the strength that you used to have. I mean, I recognize that I am not the man that I was at age 30. Now, I wasn't no strong guy at age 30, but I am definitely not the one that I was at age 30. It takes me a little longer to do things. Things ache a little bit more. And some of you that are older than me, you're saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, just wait, buddy. It's coming. But, you know, some changes are welcome in that they break the monotony of life, don't they? You know, don't you like the changing of the seasons that the Lord gives us? You know, about the time you get tired of summer, here comes fall. And boy, you're getting ready. You're tired of the allergies and all that fall bring, and then here comes the cold weather. Well, we don't like that too much down here. And we're looking forward to spring already, aren't we? Amen. Amen. If you're looking forward to cold weather, you can just move right on back up there with it. but there's some things, you know, that we welcome as far as changes. But some changes are welcome in that they make the quality of life as we perceive it better. Remember growing up as a kid? Man, you want to be 13 years old. You know, you're a teenager then. Yes, sirree. You're a teenager. And then 16, you could drive. And you want to be 18, you could vote. And you want to be 21, you're fully legal, whatever that meant. But those were some, we looked at them as welcome changes. And once you hit 21, you wanted to put the brakes on. You know, you didn't want to see 30 coming. And when you got 30 got here, 40 was right around the corner. And then 50, and they just keep coming faster and faster, right? Just the way it is. Some changes are unwelcome because they bring down the quality of our lives. They talk about aging gracefully. Is there such a thing as aging gracefully? Some changes are unwelcome because they're hard to accept. I remember, you know, when our kids grew up and moved out, you know, some folks have a real problem with that. They call it the empty nest syndrome. We got over it pretty good. In fact, when they come visit, we get over it real quick too. It's always good to see them. That empty nest syndrome, or sometimes it might be the death of a loved one. You know, that's hard to accept, isn't it? When somebody that you've been with for a long time, I've been with my wife now. We're going on 37 years, I think it is, and we're in our 37th year. And yeah, it's right. Yeah, it's 37. 37 to 79. This year would be 2016, right? Yeah. So, but you know, I can just imagine we are one. Okay. When the Bible talks about you come one flesh, Lord knows what He's talking about. And you're melded together, that one life. And when a mate's gone, I've seen, you know, what it did to in my mother's life. It was like ripping apart, you know, her life there. Dad's been gone now 18 years. And it's still hard for her in some ways. Some changes like that are unwelcome because they're hard to accept. About the time we think we've settled into a routine, something knocks us out of that routine, doesn't it? Boom. Something unexpected comes along and our lives are changed again. That's the way life is. I remember my favorite time in my life. I was 5 years old. Okay? 5 years old, New Jessup Highway there in Brunswick, Georgia. We lived off of New Jessup Highway. I didn't have a care in the world. I was out there riding my little toy tractor. Mama would say it's time to eat. I'd get that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that sweet iced tea, go out in the sun, eat that sandwich, drink that tea, and watch the chill bumps pop up on my arm. Life was good. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You got that time in your life that, man, that was a sweet spot in my life. I'd like to go right back there. Didn't have a care in the world. But that time's over. Long over. It's not going to happen. We've got to learn to deal with the changes that life brings, or we won't be able to cope with life. It may be that something had a beginning in our lives and all of a sudden it ends abruptly. It might be a job or a career. You know, I've seen people lose their career overnight. Boom, it's gone. And you're like, okay, wow, I wasn't expecting that. What am I going to do now? It might be a relationship. Again, it might be the loss of a loved one. It may be that something new comes into our lives and we experience a new beginning. You know, a single person finds Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. A young couple has a new baby. Or some individual develops something else in their life. Maybe it's a new illness. You know, we're talking about things that life changes. And we have to deal with life's changes. Think of the beginnings and ends of just our physical life. You know, our physical life itself had a beginning on this earth, and one day it's going to have an end. Verse 2, the time to be born and time to die. Right there. And we know Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die. My infancy had a beginning. It also had an end. My childhood had a beginning. It also had an end. My adolescence had a beginning. It also had an end. My adulthood had a beginning, and one day it's going to have an end. And if I live long enough, I might enter my second childhood, like some folks we know, right? Amen? That's going to also end. But think of the other areas of our lives. Life is full of beginnings and ends. But as Charles experienced one of those ends, time to retire, right? Time to work, time to retire. And he's enjoying that retirement right now. A time to play. A time to get serious about life, right? Yeah, I know some folks that needed to have gotten serious about life, and they're still playing. You know anybody like that? You know, they're just playing around, not really serious about what's going on in their lives. So most of the things that come into our lives are seasonal. Second thing, the seasonal things that God allows to come into our lives are purposeful. To the child of God. Okay? I'm going to say that again. The seasonal things that God allows to come into our lives are purposeful to the child of God. Verse 1 again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A season is an appointed occasion. There are cycles of life that begin in our lives and ultimately end in our lives, each with a purpose in our lives during the season that they're in our lives. And, you know, God allows us to go through certain things, and we grow through those experiences that come our way, don't we? Even the ones that are hard to take. Again, I don't want to get into a lot of details, but I remember in 2002 when I had that light stroke, even though it was not something that was easy to take, can I tell you, I learned a lot through that. And, you know, God taught me some things. He just did. In short, God has a purpose for all the beginnings and all the ends of our lives. You need to grab a hold of that point. Okay? God has a purpose for all the beginnings and all of the endings in your life. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, although there are many problems that we encounter that may seem to contradict God's plan, those barriers should not, those things ought not to be barriers to believing in Him, but rather opportunities to discover that without God, life's problems have no solutions. You know, we hit some problems, but thank God we have God, don't we? Yeah. Without God, what would we do? We'd be like the world, wouldn't we? And you think about the world that does not believe in the Lord. They don't have anybody to depend on. They can't lean on the everlasting arms. They don't have a friend. And we think, what friend we have in Jesus? They don't have a friend. But we don't have to have those things as being a barrier in our lives, but they are really opportunities to discover what God wants to do in our lives, and that God does have a solution for us. Now, a third thing is some things that come into our life are beyond our control. There's not a one of us in here that chose where to be born, right? We didn't choose. We didn't choose when to be born. We didn't choose where to be born. You know, I tell folks I'm Southerner by birth, Georgian by the grace of God. You know, I didn't choose it. It's by the grace of God. We didn't choose our father or our mother or our sisters or our brothers. You don't choose family. You're born into the family, aren't you? Some look at these things they can't control and use them as excuses for their lives. Now, where that comes from the humanistic thinking that says that we are only the product of our circumstances. It says that, you know, if we could only improve man's circumstances, then we could improve the man. But that's not true. We just need to get over things that we can't control and go on with our lives, because God has a purpose for everything that He allows to come our way. Don't let it be a barrier to you. Don't let it stop you. Take and work through that thing that you can't control, and allow God to work His purpose in your life, because He is at work in your life if you're a child of God. Now, some look at these things they cannot control as challenges for their lives. That is, the things that become stumbling blocks to some can become stepping stones to others, depending on their reaction to those things. I want you to think about the man who invented WD-40. Why WD-40? Because it was the 40th solution that he came up with. And 39 times he failed. And he got that 40th one, it worked. And he called it WD-40. You think of Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, thousand times it said he failed before inventing the light bulb. He told somebody, he said, you know, I hadn't failed 1,000 times. I just found 1,000 ways that it wouldn't work. You know, that's working through the solution in it. Again, even the things that we cannot control are purposeful in our lives. And now this will help you. Okay, I want to be a help to you tonight, because you're going to have some things that's going to aggravate the daylights out of you, maybe even starting tomorrow, right? Am I right? You got things like, where in the world are my car keys? Yeah. And you go hunting frantically all over the house for your car keys, and you get all flustered and all bent out of shape without realizing God has a purpose in this. You may not know what that purpose is. You know, we can't control the traffic jam, can we? But God has a purpose. The other night, when our son and daughter-in-law were supposed to come in on Christmas Eve, we had planned we were going to pick them up at the airport at 11 o'clock. We were supposed to eat lunch at noon. I was going to buy the barbecue right down here around the corner, and we bring the barbecue. Well, God had different plans. Their flight got delayed. They got sent from Atlanta. They were circling Atlanta. About ran out of gas. Had to go to Birmingham and get some more gas so they could circle around Atlanta some more. They finally wound up having to fly into Orlando instead of flying into Jacksonville. Our daughter and son-in-law went down and picked them up and brought them up. We wound up eating with the kids early, with the grandkids earlier, and they got to eat about 8:30 that night when they finally got here. And you think of something like that, you know, you can't control a delay at the airport, can you? But there is a purpose for it. And just as I was studying this, I was thinking, you know, our daughter and son-in-law were headed to the airport when we had to call them to turn them around to come back. God knows what the purpose is. And I'm just throwing this out. It could have been to save our son and daughter-in-law from a tragic accident. Could have been. I don't know. No sense in getting all bent out of shape over it, though, is there? Because you can't control it. You can't control it. Understand that God has a purpose for our lives and a purpose for each thing that comes our way during our lives. If you'll grab a hold of that concept, it'll help you in your frustrations this year. You know, there are going to be a lot of things that you can't control. If you'll turn to the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, I don't know what you got involved here, but I know that you know what's going on right now, and I'm frustrated. Help me work through this frustration." Does that make sense? Amen. A fourth thing I want you to know. Some things that come into our lives are in our control. Okay? There are some things you can control. I can control my reaction to things that come my way. Right? You can control your reaction. That's why the Bible says that we are to choose some things. I mean, we know that we're sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by choice. You know, I know years ago, comedian Flip Wilson made famous the saying, "The devil made me do it." But the devil didn't make anybody do it. Okay? Not even Eve. He got Eve looking. But who made the choice? Eve did. And Adam made a choice. When Eve brought it to him, he made a choice to eat of the fruit. They made a choice. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore," God says, "choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." Choose to do right. The problem is that we often allow our lust to control our lives, isn't it? James 1, verse 14 and 15, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." If you allow your life to be just controlled by lust, you're going to have all kinds of problems. So, we can choose to serve the Lord, or we can choose to serve something else. I like Joshua 24, 15. Joshua said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." He didn't say, "Choose whether or not you're going to serve." He said, "Choose you whom you will serve." You're going to serve. And you're going to serve some God. Something's going to be your God. Something's going to be your guide, and you're going to serve that. Whether it's your flesh, yourself, and some people, they are their own God. They're serving self. That's what they're doing. And the problem is, not that they choose not to serve, it's who they choose to serve. Proverbs 3, verse 31 says, "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways." We're not to choose to do evil like others. Isaiah 65, 12, the Lord said this. He said, "Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes," and listen, "and did choose that wherein I delighted not." Okay? We have a choice. Are you going to choose that which pleases God, or are you going to choose the things that don't please God? You can make a choice. We can choose to fear the Lord or not fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:29. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." There's some folks that choose not to fear the Lord. So some things come into our lives that are in our control. Number five thing, when something ends in our lives, it's time to find some new beginnings. Okay, we just finished the year off, right? 2015's history. 2016, we got some opportunities before us. It's time to find some new beginnings. Now, we can find some new beginnings. We do this because we know that God ultimately controls our lives. He ultimately controls them. We may need to renew some old commitments. You think about Noah, the end of the flood. He came off the ark. What did he do? He built an altar to the Lord. Joshua, the end of his life. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, he just renewed a commitment, even though he was toward the end of his life. He renewed that commitment to just continue to serve God. We may need to make some new commitments. Not only renew some old commitments, but make some new commitments. A new chapter in our lives deserves a new commitment. And when I graduated from high school, I went to college. That was my new commitment. Went to college, graduated from college, find a place to be used of God. You know, just look at what the Lord would have you to do. What new commitments does God want from your life? We may need to accept some new challenges. Noah had a challenge. God gave him a command and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." That was his new challenge when he came off the ark. Moses was on Mount Sinai there with God, getting the tables of the testimony. Remember, he's up there, and after 40 days with God, he comes down. Boy, you know, he's all excited about delivering this to the people of God. God already knew what was going on down there. Moses didn't know. But they'd already broke one of the commandments. And what did Moses do? He broke the whole tablet full and had to go back up there and get them again. He physically broke them. Yeah, he didn't. But they had already broke the commandment to have no gods before the Lord. And they were down there caught up in idolatry. But he had a new challenge on his hand. We must obey God with a new cheerfulness of spirit. Listen, don't be tempted to despair or be dragged down in depression. At the end of things, we need to look for a new beginning. If the end of something has brought sadness, or the end of something has brought difficulty in your life, look for, ask God to show you a new beginning. Look for God to give you a new beginning. Number six, when the ends come, we must focus most of our attention on the things that last forever. So that's where we need to spend our time at. Okay? Some things are going to change. Some things are going to be in a constant state of flux in our lives. But our focus should be on the eternal things. Give attention to the things that last forever. Think about it. There's no end to our salvation. We have everlasting life, eternal life. There's no end to the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. It's eternal. There's no end to true love. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 13 love. There's no end to that. Yeah. Now, the worldly type love, yeah, there can be an end to that. But true love, God's love, Charity never faileth. There's no end to our testimony and influence. Think about it. You have a testimony and influence that's going to live on positively or negatively. Throw out some names to you. Abraham, did he have a testimony? Didn't he? Had a testimony to please God. Moses? Yeah. David? Yeah, there for a part of his life. Yeah. And we remember all of these men had were flesh, but they do have testimony and influence that affect others' lives. The Apostle Paul. And listen, it's not just to the big names like them. Our lives affect other people's lives. Positively and negatively. Hopefully, you're going to be a positive influence this year in somebody's life. Yeah. Look to be that influence that lives on. A lasting legacy. There's no end to our treasures stored up in heaven. You want to have something eternal? Work on storing up some stuff in heaven this year. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Matthew 6, verse 20. Jesus talked about those eternal treasures stored up in heaven. There's no end to those that we help turn to Christ. Focus on helping others come to know Christ or helping others come to grow in Christ. If you'll focus your life on those things that you work on in those lives are eternal. There's some things that last forever. I think about the rewards that the people that had an influence on my life are going to have in their lives because of they allowed themselves to affect a young boy's life as he grew up in Sterling Baptist Church in Brunswick, Georgia. Yeah. They affected my life with the Word of God, through testimony, through life, through the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, not being afraid to do something for the Lord. Yeah, there were some negative influences too. Yeah. There were some things that I saw and some things that affected me negatively. And those folks are going to have to live with the consequences of those things. Think about those that we help turn to Christ, though. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. He was talking about the Thessalonians. He says, "For what is our hope? Or joy or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Okay? He has invested His life in the life of the Thessalonians. He said, you're our glory. You're our joy. Christ working through us has worked in you and you're our reward. What ends in your life have left loose ends in your life? Isn't it time to find a new beginning? Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Use your life and the changes of life that come. Use those things for the Lord. Are you making the most of the new beginnings in your life? Are you making the right commitments? Are you focusing most of your attention on those things that have no end, the eternal things of God? I hope so. Turn with me as we close. And I just want to kind of just move this right on over to the Lord's table. As the Lord brought this time of the Lord's table into the life of His disciples, I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians 11. I'm turning to another place, okay? Just tell you what I'm talking about here. Matthew chapter number 26. I saw this as I was studying for this thing. Matthew 26, as he sends his disciples to go set up for the Passover, which is the Last Supper that he had with them. And there in verse number 18, Matthew 26, 18, he said, go into a city, Jesus is talking to his disciples, go into a city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. What did that mean? That means some change was coming, right? Jesus had been saying, my time's not at hand yet. My time's not at hand yet. But now he said, my time is at hand. Change was coming. He said, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, they didn't comprehend what was going on. I don't think they comprehended the change, even though Jesus had told them what was going to be happening. In giving them the Lord's table, in verse 26 of Matthew 26:26, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Shed for remission of sins. What is he talking about? And verse 29, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Change was coming. Okay. And what I'm telling you, as we partake of the Lord's table tonight, here at the beginning of a new year, 2015 is behind us. There's going to be some changes that are going to come into your life inevitably this year. Some of the changes may be positive, some of the changes may be negative, but understand that all of the changes that are going to come your way are going to come God-filtered. God has a purpose for them. To everything, there's a purpose. Right? To everything. Everything that's going to come your way may not be easy to take. Some things might be great. You can say, boy, I like this change. But some things you're going to take a look at and say, man, this change, this really stinks. You know, I don't like this. But be reminded of Christ. As we partake of the Lord's table tonight, it goes back to the eternal things. Don't forget the eternal, what the Lord has worked in your life. He's worked salvation through the broken body, the shed blood. Those things are eternal. Amen. These are just representation. We're not partaking the actual body tonight. It's a picture. It's a type. It's a symbol. We're to do this in remembrance. We do this in remembrance, and it gets us refocused on the Lord, and that's the whole purpose of partaking of the Lord's table tonight, the beginning of a new year, is to refocus our efforts and look to the Lord. Say, Lord, you died for my sins. You were buried, you rose again the third day. You shed that blood for me. Lord, help me to walk the way that you'd have me to walk in 2016. Let's pray. This will be a good time. We're not going to have any piano playing or nothing. We're just going to have a time of prayer here before we partake of the Lord's table. Good opportunity there in your seat or up at the altar, ever how you want to do it. We're going to have a quiet time to go to the Lord. The here in 1 Corinthians 11, where we read the scripture as we go through the Lord's table tonight. Let me just remind you, you need to be born again. Okay, if you're not born again, this doesn't give you any grace at all. Partaking of the Lord's table, in fact, it does you wrong. If you partake of the Lord's table, if you eat and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, you'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, according to verse 27, 1 Corinthians 11:27. But we are to examine ourselves. The Lord wants us to get those things right in our life that need to be gotten right. And we're to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I believe one of the purposes that the Lord gave us this was for us to do an examination of ourselves on a frequent basis to see where we stand with Him. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to examine yourself tonight. And if there's something that you can't get right tonight, I would not recommend that you partake of the table. It's in nobody's eyes to judge you tonight whether you partake or whether you don't partake. But if you can't get right tonight, if there's something maybe between you and somebody else that you can't get that right, I would say you need to forego this. You need to be saved, you need to be baptized, and you need to be right with God to partake of the Lord's table. So let's examine ourselves.